You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California, and other parts of the world. And no matter where you are right now, get next to your computer and listen up, because the revolution is on. And, you know, when you listen to this show, you turn the lights down low.
Hi. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor, your mother confessor, your ever so slightly twisted little sister, your daughter of the American Revelation, your horny housewife, your smoking pleasure preacher. Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, I want to welcome you to Radio Suzy One, Smokin' Pleasure Radio, Revolution Radio, Revelation Radio, brothers and sisters. It's the sexuality and the spirituality. It's the Lord and the Lady. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm here tonight with our friend and neighbor, Bonobo Way developer, Mellow Queen, Warner sister, speakeasy gal, Sarah Sue Robertson.
Hello, Radio Suzy One listeners.
Yes. Sarah Sue is here with us to begin that time again, hearts and flowers, or maybe it's whips and panties time for you, but whatever your fantasy or fetish, unless you live by yourself in an igloo with no wireless, you can't avoid it. Valentine's Day.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's like going to the toilet.
What am I going to do?
What am I going to do? Valentine's Day.
Wait. Today's the first. I have 14 days. 14 days.
That's when you really start to think it. When it when the month begins with the F. The F month.
I thought I was set.
Yeah.
I thought I had everything under control.
The ideal is the enemy of the real.
Valentine's Day was taken care of. No. Valentine's
Tell
Day.
Tell it, Sister Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
When did you see the truth?
The herds move on.
Well, first of all, there was a fabulous Eros Day with you as
great party.
A queen. It was your
birthday.
I was the queen
of contingent.
The world.
You know,
I had a posse.
You had a sacrifice.
It was my birthday.
It was fantastic.
I'm glad.
Escort in a suit.
Oh, he was so hot. I'm so glad that my birthday worked out that way, right? I had a great night, party, a great boy.
Right.
You know, and then things change, and then the next day, you know.
The next day.
Okay. Actually, Eros Day was Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And then I slept through Sunday.
Okay.
So it was technically Monday.
But Eros Day really goes into Sunday.
Yeah, it does. So I consider Eros Day to be Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So
Monday is the next
day.
Monday is definitely the
Monday
next day.
Monday is when, you know.
When the poo-poo hit the fa-fa.
When the poo-poo hit the fa-fa. It was on Monday.
So what poo-poo? Why?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on.
He brought two girls to the speakeasy party.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay, so that was my birthday, right? My birthday party, Eros Day, it's like my day, right? And he brings these two chicks.
Now, wait a second. I personally, as the proprietess of the speakeasy, am happy that he brought two chicks.
I know, and you were really mad at me for not bringing enough girls.
So
when he asked to bring girls, I was like, sure.
Yes, this is something to encourage.
Always
encourage your man to bring girls.
Well, one of them was a confirmed lesbian, like absolute lesbian.
Even better.
And when I met her, You know, before I met her, I was like, maybe she'll be a lesbian, maybe she'll be some hot chick pretending to be a lesbian.
So he brings one lesbian.
No, she was a total dyke.
Okay.
Absolute dyke. So I had no threat whatsoever. Then he brings this other girl.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, just drop dead gorgeous.
Did I see her?
I don't know. She was Asian. I guess a lot of people aren't into Asians, but I am. So I consider her to be just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful
okay.
girl.
All right. So.
I had some pictures. I'll send you a picture, I guess.
Okay, okay. So there's a few beautiful Asian girls
here. I guess I would say that his lesbian was really, really hot, too. So he showed up with a hot lesbian and a beautiful Asian.
Right, okay. So he added some you know, sugar to the...
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Mix.
He definitely contributed to girls. And I thought that you was know. Cute.
I think that Asian girls are much better looking than Asian men.
Yeah, I agree.
Myself.
I have a hard time buying into Asian... some Asian men. The really emo ones with the spiky blonde hair.
Yeah,
I'm a fan.
Spiky hair, right.
The spiky hair.
Fan of the spiky hair.
Okay. So now, that doesn't tell me why...
Then
he
what happened? What did
I mean,
he say?
What did he say? Why did he...
Well, wait. Who had sex with who?
Who had sex
night?
With who? How does that work? One person has sex with the other person?
Well, I'm just wondering. Eros Day, you know, I mean...
Oh, we didn't do it on Eros Day,
You
no.
did not do it?
No.
And the two girls didn't do it either?
Oh, well, the hot Asian actually got really shocked and offended.
Really?
Quite early in the evening and took off.
Oh,
and
no wonder I didn't meet her.
No, she was so, distraught.
By the porn star?
I don't know what the fuck happened. So he had to walk her out and, deal with the drama, right? So then he's, texting me, you know, hey, what's her face? Freaked out, and I'm dealing with it. And I was like, she's a stupid whore. You know, why are you doing that? I guess he didn't like that too much, but... Well,
you wrote to him, she's a stupid whore?
I might have said that, because I was really drunk when I saw him eventually at the end of the night.
I feel for you. I feel that any woman that is offended by the speakeasy is a stupid whore.
She's a stupid whore. And they disappeared for hours, right? And so then he comes back and he's like, you know, what's her face was really upset, and I don't know why she was so offended. And I was like, she's stupid. I don't think I called her a whore at that point, you know? Because I didn't think
it was
she was a whore.
The next sentence.
Just stupid.
Whatever. I was like, she's stupid. Like, who is she? She's not your best friend. Like, obviously, the lesbian was like his BFF, you know? Like, he talks about lesbian all the time. She's his best friend. New girl, Asian chick. I'd never heard of her, so I didn't give a fuck about her. So I was like, I don't care that this hot chick you bring to my birthday party was offended by sex and, took off and you had to deal with it. So maybe he didn't like me anymore after that because I was unsympathetic.
Well, okay, so...
So how did he break up? I mean, how did this happen?
Okay, he had two major points.
Let's hear him.
Two major points. The first one, and the only one that I would consider valid... He said that he felt like he was just going through the motions. That was the line.
Going through the motions.
Yeah, I feel like I've just been going through the motions.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's heavy. What's the word?
It's divorce time.
That's divorce time.
Yeah, that's...
You've been going through the motions? Okay, well, then it's pretty much over.
Then that's also mean.
It's mean. It is mean. You don't have to say that. You could say, I don't know if I'm ready for a relationship.
Right. Blah,
blah.
That is mean.
Right. You could beat around the bush.
Say.
You don't have to say, oh, I've never been into you.
I've been faking
it this entire time. I was like, wait, ugh. There's so many reasons to argue with that.
All right. And also
he didn't say he was faking it the entire time.
The other reason you should have left him, he wears bat shirts and bat suits.
Yeah, the suit was a little wallet-like.
The suit was a little...
You know what, Sarah? Let me tell you this.
He should
honestly, Sarah.
I thought he was hot.
When you walked
so
in
hot.
With him, when you walked around the corner, and I admit I was dazed and I had all kinds of issues.
Talk
and
shit.
I
want to hear you
walk
talk
in,
shit.
And I thought, oh, Wallace is back. And I said,
yeah,
And I said, and he looks better. He looks younger.
I'm dating a younger Wallace.
And then I said, oh, my God, that's not Wallace.
Wait, he asked me what he should wear beforehand, and I was like, you know, wear whatever you want. And he was like, should I wear a suit? And I was like, I don't know. Do guys wear suits to the speakeasy? Maybe. Some guys
sure.
wear suits.
Well, Wallace
tried. And he's all that one guy was wearing a suit. That one guy I saw you with was wearing a suit.
The one he saw you with. Right. That's Wallace.
So I was like, okay, well, you know, he did wear a suit. You can wear a suit.
Right.
What was his second point?
Thank you, David.
So the second point, and this is the big one, really, for us, for the three of us. This is a big one. Okay, so we left the speakeasy.
He was offended.
Saturday night, right? Oh, he never liked the speakeasy, I'll be honest. He wasn't a big fan. So we leave.
Good riddance.
So we leave Saturday night, and he says, as we're having breakfast the morning after Eris Day, he says, you know, I feel like you've offloaded a huge problem onto Susie. This exact words.
What is that?
In regards to Terry moving in. Right?
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that, but it's all right.
He said to me that I can imagine that, too, except that, I mean, you guys have had Tay, Annie, right? I mean...
Wait, this was a reason for him to...
This is the only fight we ever got into. This is at Mel's Diner on Sunset Boulevard, right? He says, I feel like you've offloaded a huge problem on Susie. And I'm all, what the fuck are you talking about? And he was like, why would you have Terry move in there? And I was like, you know, Terry has to leave in Mel's house. You know, she's breaking up with Evan. She needs a place to go. I feel like the speakeasy would really nurture her skills, you know, and it's a supportive group of individuals. And, you know, they turned into sort of a fight, and then we talked about it a little bit later online, and he said, and this is the second one, really, this is the quote, is, I feel like you give your friends shitty advice.
Whoa.
Right? Okay. And I said, who the fuck do I give shitty advice to? And he said, Rachel and Terry. So I guess he met me as a person and evaluated me and decided that I am the type of person that gives shitty advice to my friends.
Do you think he's being moralistic?
And this is a guy that does sites for crippled people?
Crippled people? What site was that?
That's what he told me.
Maybe. He does construction
sites. Yeah, with the
veterans. Right, with the veterans.
Oh, he works for the veteran.
Right,
he works
for
the veteran.
Right.
Yeah. But he doesn't do sites for them. He just does. But whatever. He was very moral.
He's pretty moralistic, isn't he? Like pretty Catholic and
stuff? He claimed Catholic. I called him out on that, and I told him that you mentioned it, and he said that he just did it because it was funny. To say that he was Catholic.
I'm wondering a little bit about...
See, I don't know how you went to Yale and came out so liberal, because his Stanford education, like, shone through the entire time, you know, that this is the way things are done, this is the way the world works, this is... It's like...
You know,
I loved him. He was brilliant, intelligent, high IQ individual, but
that's true.
Programmed by the
a lot
system.
Of the Ivy Leagues, and Stanford
you're
isn't
absolutely
really even an
correct.
Ivy League,
programmed.
But a lot of them are programmers.
Yeah, totally programmed.
And I am a little unusual, I think.
How did that happen? How could you go through an Ivy League kind of programming and come out still having creative ideas?
Because some of us.
No, I think you are. I'll be honest. I think you are.
Some of us came through Nazism.
I got good study habits at Yale. That's why I liked it. I mean, and I love the Gothic architecture, but the mentality is very conformist.
You want to join us? I heard you were dumped on us.
Here, I have
Terry's
some.
Been dumped as well. Terry and I are oh my God. Can I say, what year is it? This is 2008. The last time, honestly, that I was dumped by a guy was 1996. 1996.
I have never been dumped by a guy, ever.
How about a girl?
Oh, yeah. I've been dumped by some girl.
Okay. I'm never dumped. I am not dumped. You know? So this is a culture shock.
It's cool, but
I have to evaluate my whole sense of self, you know, my identity, you know, am I okay? Am I desirable? Like, there's all these questions that come up once you get dumped that I am not used to. And...
Well, I think, though, that being dumped is good. It helps build character.
I agree. I'm happier for it.
Failure is success.
I'm glad. Okay, so I recently came out of a 4-year relationship, right? We broke up 4 months ago. Only 4 months. He's still living with me, by the way.
And you're still trying to dump him.
I'm still trying to dump him. He asked me to marry him almost every day.
See, to be graceful about dumping is very important. To be,
I know.
To go, okay, you're dumping me. I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Isn't that the worst dramatic irony? Is that I'm in the act of being the graceful dumper, right? I'm being so nice. And then I get ungracefully fucking dumped, where he says, oh, it's going through the motions. And I'm
right.
Like, why can't you give me some song and dance that spares my feelings, you know? Why do you have to say it straight up like it is? But... Now I'm considering how I feel about that whole thing too, and maybe
he was
saying
just,
it
he,
straight up like it is. Is
he liked
way
you
to do
as
it.
Jackie Kennedy.
I know. Once I took the sunglasses off, it was over for him.
And she was Catholic. You know. And the
well,
pink hat.
Okay, so you had Aerostay Saturday
so
night,
he,
right?
So he basically gets 5 stars.
Out of how many? 5?
Out of 5 for being an idiot.
Yeah.
For dumping me?
Sure.
Yeah,
he, I mean, I am eventually going to rule the world.
It's interesting, the speakeasy
right.
really did kind of border your relationship with
no,
him.
No, it made it and broke it.
And broke it.
It started and ended here.
Yeah, we have 100...
I know, I trip
you
on that.
You met him here,
we
you ended it right
me,
after.
Let me just say this is a commercial. We have 100% success rate. We either keep you together or we break you up.
There you go.
100% of the time, those are your outcomes.
That's right.
Yeah. We do it all. We do it all right here.
Oh, God.
Ugh. We're uptime. 99%.
Okay. Valentine Central.
So let's talk about this. So we break up, right?
Right.
And, like, I'm all emo on him for, like, a day or two. I'm like, why are you together?
I know. I didn't hear from you.
Because that's how I do it. I blurb all over your IM. So now he messages me every day. And he's like, hey, you know, today Microsoft bid on Yahoo for $44 billion.
He wants
you know?
To be your friend.
He wants to be my friend? Why did he
after
want to
he
be
was
my
an
friend?
Asshole. Why? Because he really does like you.
Okay.
He's scared.
Exactly.
He's scared.
That fear
he's very
factor.
Scared.
The speakeasy especially
yeah.
is fear factor.
The major portion of the speakeasy is about fear and walking into the new world.
But I met him at the fucking speakeasy.
Right?
Yeah, but you were a little safe because after all he was comparing you to someone else who was more out of control.
Yeah.
And
no, I feel like I turned out to be just as out of control in the end, you know, because he wasn't ready for a crazy girl.
Kind of, no. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe, yeah, you were a little more, I mean, you were more of a party girl Saturday night. After all, it was partly your party.
But I didn't do anything.
No, right.
Okay, but hang on. Okay, backstory.
Yeah.
So Saturday night was Eros Day, right? Friday night, I had a little party at my house for my birthday, and, and boy, emo boy, who's, you know, guy, was over at my house, and ex-boyfriend, who still lives with me, showed up, and they met each other for the first time Friday night. So ex-boyfriend, Jeff, walks in and says, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck are you doing? Oh my God, how could you fucking do this to me? And it turns into this thing, right? And I was like, you know, don't worry, I was just walking him out. I'm going to walk him out right now, I'll handle it, you know? And so I walk him out, and then, you know, we hang out in the parking lot for like half an hour.
This is after your party?
This is after the birthday party, late Friday night, like 3 a.m. Friday night. So then we're in the parking lot, and he's like, whoa, you know, you and ex-boyfriend really have a connection. Like, I could tell, you know, blah, 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 blah. He was very upset, you know, because he just met the ex-boyfriend for the first
time.
Yes,
yes, okay. So that was also a factor.
Absolutely also a factor. Honestly, I feel like that could have been the major factor, because he's so intelligent, he makes relationship decisions based on these kinds of things, you know?
See, when I met Susan...
He adds them up like a dating service.
Yeah. And
when I met Susan...
She hasn't yet broken up with her. I don't want to be on a rebound.
Right. Who makes decisions like that? You make decisions based on your heart. You don't make decisions based on, like, ooh, this is an uncomfortable situation I can't deal with. No. If you fucking love someone... So I assume that he must not have loved me, you know?
Well...
Hey.
You know, you don't need it.
Listen, his shirts don't fit and his suit don't fit. He wears flood pants to go up to his ankle.
I like him young and small.
Well, no, that's all right, but the suit.
The suit was small. Too small.
He's so cute. He wears checkered Vans and rock and roll t-shirts with sport jackets.
Ugh. Aww.
Ugh.
Oh,
I know.
I thought he was Wallace. I thought he was, you know, Wallace.
That's what Susan said.
A good day.
She says, was Wallace? She says, was Wallace there last night?
I was dating a young Wallace.
Yeah. I did. I really thought that Wallace was there, and it wasn't until much later that I realized, oh yeah, Ezzie was wearing a suit.
Yeah, it was Sarah's new Wallace.
Sarah's new Wallace. I remember I realized it while I was sitting with Kanan. I went, oh my God,
I told Kanan too that, you know, what went down. He was
The guy's got no couth. That's all I can say.
No, I was going through the motions. What a thing to say.
I was going through the motions. Well, okay. No, so is he
saying, okay, you want me to be cruel to you? I'm sorry.
No, be cruel. What do you want to say?
Okay. I guess I would dig it in. I don't know. Is he saying that he's been going through the motions just lately, or is he saying that he hooked up with you?
Okay, here's my take on it. I feel like... Okay, A, he told me that he was really depressed. Since he got here, he was really depressed.
What do you mean since he got here? Since he got here the first time on Halloween?
Since he moved
to
Southern California.
Oh, to L.A.
Oh, good. He's not blaming us.
Okay. No.
I thought maybe depressed.
No, since he got to L.A.,
depression.
He's been really depressed.
Okay.
Okay, and I love depressed people, right?
Right.
So I'm okay with the depression. And I was like, okay, you're depressed, so now you're tortured, and I have to deal with your emotional ups and downs. I love that, you know, I'm into that. So I feel like if he feels like he was just going through the motions, then maybe he's in some sort of, like, lost place, you know? He doesn't know what he's doing with his life, he's depressed, he does, you know, he's just dating some chick for the fuck of it, he doesn't know. That's how I write that off. Secondly, I mean, I have a resume that proves myself to be an adequate partner, right? I mean, I'm a social network engineer, I write code. I mean, he and I lined up as career good individuals. So it's kind of like if your resumes match, but then your chemistry doesn't, then you can feel like you're going through the motions. Because you feel like I should be with this person because they match me in all these ways, but I still don't feel anything. So, I don't know. I feel like I kind of felt the same way about him, you know, because he was a programmer and a social network engineer.
Well, did you feel physical chemistry with him?
I felt great physical chemistry with him. Like, we had, we had great, great interactions physically.
And do you think he felt that?
And we had great interactions. Yeah, I do feel like he felt that.
So what does he mean by going through the motions? Is it like...
I don't think it was physical. Physically, we got along well, and intellectually, we got along well. But there was no real spiritual, emotional connection.
Spiritual.
You know?
Spiritual.
What's that extra thing? That extra edge that gives you love. Like, the sex was great, and the talking about intellectual subject matter was great. And those are two things that I thought I needed in a relationship. But now I find, additionally, I need an emotional connection. And I don't know how to define that outside of intellectual and physical. But there's a third layer. There really is.
Yeah, what you take to be the meaning of life and how you kind of plug that into your relationship.
Ugh, isn't that weird? You can have great sex and great conversations and still it's a little bit off.
Yeah, well, you got to have, like, I mean, the spiritual element. You know, I have to think about that because I'm doing this talk at Yale on
spirituality.
This subject. Sexuality and spirituality. Sex
and God.
Oh, God.
Because you can have great sex, but you're not like, you know, it's not, you can feel like fireworks because the orgasm and the physical stimulation is fireworksy, but you don't fireworks in your head and in your heart and in your soul, you know, unless...
Because the person has to move you.
They have to move you. But see, I thought that I would be moved intellectually, right? Because that's what I'm all driven by.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yeah, I'm into the brain. And so me and him have these talks about how to make billions of dollars and how to build e-businesses, and I get really off on that, and yet it didn't translate.
Now, how about with the ex? How's your spiritual quotient?
So me and Jeff have the most amazing spiritual connection, almost zero physical and intellectual connection, right? But I can't get away from him because... When we're together, we're like our vibes are the exact same, and when we banter back and forth, it flows together. We try to have sex, and it's super awkward, you know. And
really?
We try to banter intellectually, and you know he's not into what I'm into, so we can't talk about anything. So, God, I can't figure it out, Susie. I feel like you, being the expert on these things, should know, but I feel like I'm just learning it as I go along, and I don't know what the fuck is going on. There's three things at least. There's intellectual, physical, and spiritual. There's at least three. There could be more.
Yeah, and the spiritual is something that kind of hovers between the intellectual and the physical. It's one of those things...
They feed into each other, too.
It's the mystery that is the cross-section between the two of them. Because, you know when you can intellectually connect with someone, and it's very
Oh, and it
clear.
Happens all the time, and I confuse it with sexual attraction, right? If I'm really intensely intellectually attracted to someone, then I feel like I need to fuck them, right? Just because...
Right? You're asking me?
That's what I do, right? Yeah. And then I try to, but it doesn't translate, right? This... Like, just because we can have amazing conversations about how to configure kernels and start billion-dollar web businesses, like, that doesn't mean that we're going to have amazing sex. That doesn't translate.
Right, right. That's
so
physical.
I need at least those two things to be happy, but then I additionally need the third thing.
The third thing, the spirituality, right, where you just feel like you're on life's journey together.
Yeah,
I don't think
you can force it. You know, you
can't. No,
there's
you
no
can.
Amount of sex you
That's
can have
really
that'll make that happen.
Well, you know, I think that some people do force it. You know, they're like gold diggers that hide that they're really just trying to use somebody. They make the guy think that they are there on the life's journey with the guy.
So
the guy wants
feels
to believe
a spiritual connection, but the girl doesn't.
The girl is
or
faking
whatever.
It. Right. You can fake that spiritual connection. And then, you know, people get married sometimes based on that. They marry for money and then dump the person. Then they never intended to go
I
on that journey.
I feel like they always had to know. You
the
know
person, the other person?
The other person, they knew.
Maybe.
Right? How could you not know? A spiritual connection, can it really be faked?
You know, I'm not sure. I think so. I think it can be fake just like an orgasm. And just like with an orgasm, you know, if your partner is sensitive, you can't fake an orgasm. But most guys are not that sensitive, so you can fake it. And I think that, you know, it's also possible for people to fake that spiritual connection, to agree with everything you say about what you want to do in life and your morals, your spirituality. I mean, when you really don't believe in any of it. Somebody can do that.
But I feel like I've felt spiritual connections with individuals with whom none of my principles or morals aligned, right? Like we had completely different ideas about what to do in life, completely different political and religious backgrounds, and yet you feel it in your soul, right? It's this...
Well, I guess it's the romance part. You know,
I guess you can have an experience that would make you believe that, right? You can have an amazing picnic, you know, in the...
I think you can have a spiritual connection with somebody that you don't share moral values with. It's more when you're having sex with someone, you're dating someone, you're thinking about sharing your life with them. It's not just somebody you're, like... on a cruise with, you know, where you can have that spiritual connection looking out onto the sea and, you know, feeling that we're all...
I think it's hard to separate them. Like, how can you have a spiritual connection without imagining a life? Isn't it kind of...
Well, because maybe you could just be standing there with someone that you don't want a life with, but you're looking
maybe that's
out
a spiritual
at a
moment,
shooting star.
Right?
And
that's
and
a moment.
And also most men are just sniffing around.
Yeah.
They're like dogs.
My dad used to say that. He would say, Sarah, all men are dogs.
Right.
All
yeah.
men are
yeah.
dogs.
Well, and that is the other factor, is that I think the man in question really wants to be with lots of different women.
Oh, and that's the first thing my friends asked. Did he hit it and quit it? I was like, maybe. Not exactly, you know.
Well, more or less, you know.
It was just several months. Right? I mean, several months was enough.
Right. Well, he hit it and hit it and hit it.
He
and
hit
then
it
quit
and
it.
Hit it and hit it and hit it
and
then
quit it.
And then quit
it. Right.
So.
Yeah, but, you know, he's sampling what Southern California has to offer. And he's, you know, at the same time, he's moral about it, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, I don't feel like he was a total man-whore or anything. It wasn't like
that. As a matter of fact, it's interesting that he brought a woman that ran out of here. Obviously, he did not prepare her properly for the speakeasy, because that is a rare occurrence.
Well, I told him that I had a guest list, which included 5 males.
Mm-hmm.
So he reacted to that in such a way. as if he felt like he had to compete, right? He was like...
Oh, that's fine, but then he should explain what the speakeasy is before he...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He definitely should have given backstory to the girl, and he must have in order... I mean, maybe not, but...
I have a feeling not. I mean, you know, I think he might have just said, well, it's a sexy club, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted her to come.
We'll do a little station identification. You're listening to Radio Susie 1 on the World Wide Web.
I have to pee so bad.
Yeah.
Can I take a quick go?
Certainly, our guest has to pee. And if you're listening on Skype or whether you're listening on the Internet, you've been listening to Dr. Susan Block and Sarah from Melodramatic and our partner here in... Bonobo Way. From my house to your house, we're broadcasting. We're trying to reach out to you. I don't know if you're listening right now, but I hope you are. And if you're not, you can always go to our archives, and you can listen to the shows anytime you want. Fascism has been defeated. You don't have to listen to it at 11 o'clock. You can listen to it anytime you want.
How can we get back on... Skype here, can we or no?
Well, you can try.
I'm not sure how to do it.
Yeah, no, they're having issues. It's been that way for a few days.
So can you come over here and help, and I'll just give out the numbers?
Just keep talking.
All righty. So, if you are listening to us out in North America, then you can call our toll-free number, which is 1-866-289-7068. That's 1-866-289-7068. And if you're in any other part of the world, you can call us at 213-749-1330. That's 213-749-1330. And we are talking with Sarah Sue Robertson tonight here on Radio Susie 1. It's just before Valentine's Day, and we are talking about the sexual, the intellectual, and the spiritual connection that we need to feel like we're in love with someone, that in love feeling that you never want to let go of. At least while you're feeling it. What is that spiritual thing? And is spiritual even the right word for it? I guess it is, because spiritual describes what you can't see or hear or taste. It's just something you feel inside.
I think part of spirituality, myself, it's about smell.
Well, there is an element of spirituality.
Which is a little bit like color that we were talking about tonight.
It's smell, subconscious sensation, subconscious things that you pick up about someone.
Exactly.
That you like about that person that may be physical, but you don't really perceive it as physical. And it just can rub you the wrong way or the right way. And it makes it so that sometimes...
And you almost have no control over it.
You might like somebody's smell a lot and be attracted to them, or you might think somebody's very attractive, but somehow their smell turns you off, and then you're going off in the other direction.
Right.
Are we talking about how...
Whoa, let me get you here. Hi.
Are we talking about how
was
pheromones?
The pee.
An amazing pee.
Really? Oh, good. All right.
It was like two stages of pee. You know how you think you're done, but then you're like, oh, there's a little bit more left, and keep on going.
The joy of peeing.
So were we just talking about how pheromones affect
your
perception of love?
We were talking about how, what is spirituality? You know, as you said, there's this intellectual element of love, there's a physical element of love, and then there's a spiritual element of love.
Which I've never given any credence to, because I'm sort of a scientific atheist type, right? So I don't really believe in that thing, but I believe that there must be some scientific explanation for the phenomenon that goes on that causes two people to have some sort of connection.
Well, I think that some of it is, as you were saying, Brother Dave, that we are just too stupid, we humans, to understand that we are perceiving these feelings either through our intellect or through our body.
And
that we think when, like for instance, we're not so aware as a dog is of certain smells and certain sounds, but still we're picking up on these things like pheromones, and so we just translate that as a spiritual connection because we don't understand it.
Well, it's and again, I go back to colors. There's certain things that you can talk about and intellectualize, but colors you can't in a way. They affect you virtually in your central nervous system. So, and I also think that there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure for both men and women to have that integration, that spirituality, that thing that is supposed to happen. But it's really different than that. I think it's spirituality and those kinds of relationships are way beyond our means of understanding them. And hold on a second here. I'll be right with you.
You're gonna do
I like that idea that we're under a lot of pressure.
Speaking
to
of
feel
pressure,
a certain
absolutely.
Thing. You know?
I am under a lot of pressure because I'm going to be speaking at Sex Week at Yale about this very subject. Although I'm going to be having to work in the different religions, and I'm in fact going to be on this panel with this woman, a born again Christian woman who used to be a Jewish rock and roll journalist named Dawn Eden.
I'm such a fan of born again. Now that I know that they're their own classification.
Yeah.
So when people ask me, like, you know, what are you? And I'm like, oh, my parents were born again. You know, like I don't say Christian anymore. I just say born again.
Right. Right.
I think I got that from you.
Drama.
Probably.
More
and,
drama.
And really, if we want to take it away from the religious right, we're born again every day. I'm a born again.
I'm born again every month.
I was certainly born again when I almost died in the hospital,
right.
And then I
you were
survived.
Literally born again.
I was
you
born again. You betcha.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So anyway, Dawn Eden has been born again as a Christian because she was born Jewish. So, you know. And she wrote about rock and roll and interviewed all these rock and rollers. And I guess, you know, she had a career change as well as a spiritual change. She became a Christian, and
too
she,
many drugs.
And she wrote a best-selling book about saving sex from marriage, and you're not even supposed to masturbate. And it's called The Thrill of the Chaste.
I know.
Oh, Susie. I've never felt more blessed to know you than at a time where you say the thrill of the chase and we
go.
Have a big muahaha moment. Because it's just ridiculous.
I know. I'm going to be on a panel with this woman.
The thrill of the chase. Okay, here's what I want you to do. When the speaker gets up and she goes, here's our author, blah, blah, blah. The thrill of the chaste. I want you to just go
laugh.
We have to defeat these individuals, but we also sell chastity belts in our
well, yeah,
website.
I'm thinking we're going to bring a chastity belt.
Oh my God, have you guys watched, okay, minor, shallow,
a chastity
pop
belt.
Culture segue, have you guys watched The Moment of Truth?
No.
I assume that you haven't because there's no TV in the speakeasy.
Right.
So there's this new show called The Moment of Truth where they put someone up on this panel and they put you on a lie detector and they ask you all these questions and then the lie detector figures out if it's true or not. So they have this girl on a couple nights ago and they're asking her, you know, retarded questions, whatever. And one of the questions was, are you really planning on saving yourself for marriage?
No.
This is the question. And she says, you know, she giggles, yes.
Yes. And it's a total lie.
No.
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 Yes.
The lie detector comes back and says, true. Which means, A, girl is a virgin. B, girl is planning on being a virgin until she's married. She's already graduated from college. She's 25 years old, right? She's on this fucking Moment of Truth show.
Right.
And right? I'm sitting there like aghast. Like, what kind of girl graduates from college as virgin, right? And plans on still being a virgin for marriage.
You don't have any of those on Mellow.
Let me
I don't know any virgins in my entire life.
Oh my God. I know quite a few. There are actually quite
I know a lot of male virgins.
Male and female.
Female virgins, unheard of. Unheard of.
Well, I can tell you this. This is probably a reality show, so everything is fixed.
Some of those Yale girls are virgins.
That's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. There's no...
The whole show is based on a lie detector test.
No, of course not.
No, I was looking at this chick, and I was like, there's no way she's a virgin.
No way. Right.
But the lie detector test...
This is probably funded by religious right-wingers, that particular segment.
Probably.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Certainly this
That's
author
nonsense.
Is
shocked. She was like 20, mid-20s.
Yeah, and she's going to get cancer if she doesn't get laid.
She needs to get laid.
Right. So,
But then it came out that she cheated in all these beauty pageants, and she'd had plastic surgery, and she was like, real vain, beauty obsessed. So, right?
So
she still had some bad sides.
Yeah, this is like the $64,000 question.
But who's a virgin that gets plastic surgery? Like, really?
That's pretty weird. Although
the whole point
of
plastic surgery is to attract men.
There are some weird little kind of fetishes that are going on these days.
Right, I can imagine it, right? But it's just so shocking.
And also the definition of sex is very...
Right, she thinks she's a fucking virgin.
Maybe she's even had it in the ass, and she thinks
she's
a virgin.
I've only done it in the ass. I'm still a virgin. No, bitch.
And
not a virgin.
Reading that this author, maybe, I'm not sure about this, but I think she said that sex is only really sex when you exchange body fluids.
So if the guy comes, it's only sex if the guy comes?
Well,
right? So we can do it for an hour, and then
you
can go jack off in the toilet, and I'm still
like
a virgin?
This is like old-fashioned definition of sex, yes. This is sex. This is sex. Anyway, this woman is one of my fellow panel members.
Boy, she has been just derided.
On this show, I know. We talk about her every once in a while. I had to let her...
Every night.
I bet she's listening, too, because she knows she's going to be on a panel with you.
You know what, Susan? You should send her...
I'm going to start listening.
Susie, you should send her an email.
Yeah.
And say, I'm going to be on the thing with you. It's very nice meeting you. I look forward to it.
I am looking forward to it.
Okay,
I want you to know that.
You should send her an email and let her listen to the shows.
Dawn Eden, I am looking forward to meeting you. And I hope you're a really nice person.
Yeah. And I'm also looking forward to meeting you, but what do we have?
I don't know what we have. We have Terry wandering around.
Terry, why don't you go get a chair out there?
Terry,
we're talking about sex and spirituality and
there's one out there.
Valentine's Day.
And
okay,
getting dumped.
Get that one.
Okay.
Right. Getting dumped.
I'm not used to getting dumped. I'm kind of hot.
It's a spiritual experience.
Kind of desirable. Boys usually like me.
You're very hot and very desirable.
Getting dumped by a boy has given me this whole, like, oh my God, am I not hot complex? Am I not, is there something wrong with me kind of a thing? Right? I've never gone through that, but I've been going through that. And
I'm always going through that.
How can you be going through that?
I'm always wondering, am I hot? Am I hot?
I think we all wonder that, really.
Shut up.
Now, I understand that you dumped a young girl on us.
I just fell right into your lap.
That's the accusation.
I offloaded. I offloaded a huge problem.
And by the way, in Texas,
I hate him. Why do you say that, Sarah?
Also, he's using the wrong term. It's downloaded.
Downloaded. Considering he's technical, he should have known that.
Right. Not like you put her from a ship that came in and you offloaded her.
I appreciated that he said what he thought, I appreciate that. The whole
you
I say what I mean
it.
Thing. But I don't think you should break up over that. Right? You should be able to have it out over something you disagree with.
Well, he still wants to network with you.
Ooh.
He wants to be your friend and network with
you.
You
mean he thinks I might still be a billionaire someday. So he wants to.
You don't want to offend a potential billionaire. My God.
I would
And he'd probably want to have sex
in
with you.
In a heartbeat, I would show up at the Standard Hotel.
Would, exactly. He would want to have sex with you again.
Easily, I would. Because I,
because you can't have him. Because he, it's the rejection.
That is true.
It's attractive. It's attractive.
Well, I mean, as you go into a relationship with a younger emo boy, you know that there's going to be some heartbreak and some rejection.
Of course.
That's what you expect out of the
relationship. They are rejecting as
And they don't know what they want.
It's like almost there's a sort of an autism
indecisive
about it.
Indecisive and tortured.
It's an autistic
I would continue the battle and the game of the emo drama if not for the straight-out hurtful, I was just going through the motions statement, right?
Oh, yeah. That
was mean. I know. I'm having a problem with that.
It doesn't add up.
Anything else besides that, and I would
where's
still
play
the
guy from? What is his background, his cultural background.
Okay, here's the background.
Yeah.
He was born in the Philippines.
Ah, okay.
Wait, two wealthy parents.
Ah.
Who moved to a town on the border of Mexico where he was raised. So he speaks Spanish. And he was raised in a border town, and I think he's Mexican.
I think he's an illegal agent.
And what do his parents do?
His mom started an electronics retailing company similar to Radio Shack, which distributes to China.
Okay.
Right?
Distributes to
China. And his dad was a physics professor. His dad is passed away from drugs.
From drugs?
That's a good way to go.
Ooh, emo.
How long ago?
A couple of years.
Okay.
Recent enough to be...
Prescription drugs?
He's so cute. I love you. I'm going to have tragedies.
Okay. No wonder.
Why doesn't he love me?
He does. He doesn't know what to do with himself. They never do. The emo boys can never satisfy.
I hope
he's listening. You're too powerful. You're too...
Too Carrie,
commanding.
Tell me something ego-inspiring.
Well, he did see you in a very...
You're in a very
commanding state at the speakeasy on Eros Day because it was your party.
My birthday was not a way to judge me, right? Because I'm not going to be fully attentive at my birthday.
Of course not.
Well,
you have the masses to attend to, and he will always come second to your audience, your beloved people, and he knows that, and he's probably a whiny little emo boy that can't handle it.
It's got to be Jeff. That's the only thing I can think.
And Jeff, because Jeff ruins everything.
Who's Jeff?
Jeff.
Who knows?
Jeff is probably listening and loving himself.
Here's an additional layer to the whole whatever or not, is that I fucking hate people that are affected by one-moment interactions, right? I mean, life is so multicolored and multicultural that the experiences last a lot longer than a single evening. So do
insults.
I don't know. Insults are like water off a duck's back. You gotta take, you know, why were they insulting me? What frame of mind were they in? You know, what was going on? Like,
consider the state of mind.
I don't know. I mean, people can...
Sometimes.
You know, like, I can handle someone calling me an asshole or calling me a bitch.
All kinds of names.
But telling me... I would...
They were just going through the motions?
Yeah.
You only say that to be a douche, right? You would say that in order to end it immediately.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a real reason.
But
it's
see,
just
wouldn't an intellectual, calculated individual who's making an intelligent choice choose to make the exact action that they would need to make in order to do whatever intellectual decision they made? So if you say...
So you think he wasn't really going through the motions, he just said that in order to break up with you more
easily?
Who knows?
I think, personally...
Then that's really mean.
He doesn't know what the fuck is going on. That's what I think. I think that he's a depressed, retarded emo boy who thinks that he's got his shit together because he graduated from Stanford and he's got a fucking job.
Yeah, all that's true.
But really, none of that shit makes sense, and he doesn't know what the fuck is going on, and he's lost
but
in
that,
his racing
that,
emotional mind...
But that would go along with going through the motions. All of what you just said would go along with a guy who would go, oh, yeah, here's a hot, sexy, smart woman. I got to do her.
We have...
But she's Jackie Kennedy.
We wouldn't take a break. You're
a
listening.
Fellow Catholic.
You're listening to The Breakup.
We must bond.
This is Radio Susie One
on the
World Wide Web.
I must comfort her over the death of her husband.
Entrepreneurially,
we are the most personal.
We radio must ride off in
and
the
and we're
pink
stoned
limo.
And drunk.
He was so cute. Why is he so cute? I hate him.
Fuck you, Howard.
Fuck you, Ezra.
I mean, the suit.
Ezra.
Terrible, the suit.
That's his name, listeners.
All
the
emo boy. Ezra the emo boy.
Maybe
he was trying to make the suit look emo. Was that the cat? That's what I kind of was wondering.
I think that he was wearing whatever he thought that I wanted him to wear.
Flood pants.
He just wanted to bask in your presence as long as he could until he realized that that's what everyone around you does and he doesn't want the competition.
Right.
He can't
handle that. Right,
the basking is a little hard.
The basking and the Filipino background and
Come on, gave him... Okay, so he registered for Mello and he set up this profile that was like all customized, right? It was like super cute.
Trying to impress you, yeah.
Uh-huh,
and
he hacked the site, I gotta say. He hacked it,
hacked Mello?
Oh, yeah, he hacked Mello. And he logged in his and he did all this shit as me.
He was probably good about your boy toys front page access.
He's a transvestite.
He met me and we go to his office, right, where all his computer. Let me just tell you this sex story, listeners.
Sex story. Oh, I'm waking up.
So I go to Carnzilla's birthday party, which was kind of lame, I'll be honest.
Hey, man, it's not the same place anymore.
So I'm leaving Carnzilla's birthday party and I'm like, life sucked. So Ezra texts me and he's like, hey, let's meet up. And I was like, okay, wherever, let's meet up right now. So we meet up in Cyprus or some shit at a Jack in the Box.
Exciting. Oh, wow.
Oh, he texts me. He's all, let's see what Cyprus is all about. And I was like, okay, I'm down. So we go to Cyprus, right, and it sucks. And there's a bar. So we go to a bar. We get a couple drinks. It was fun. And there's like a fucking motel next door.
Oh.
He's all, should we get a motel? And I was like, you know, whatever. We can get a motel if you want to get a motel. And then we opted not to get the motel. Sorry, listeners. But we go back to the office. So he has
your office.
Oh God, I'm such an office girl. So we go to the office. This is where he works, and it's got like three offices in it. And
this is his office.
This is his office.
I love having
he works
in the
every
boy
day.
Office.
Did you have sex in his desk?
Oh, let me just say. God, I'm getting horny. His office is in Long Beach, and it's on the beach. Okay, so if you have the sliding glass door open, okay. So his office is an apartment, right? So they rented this apartment. Every bedroom is set up as an office, and the main living room is set up as a cubicle space, whatever. So it's on the beach, so there's a balcony, and it has the waves crashing, you know, the sound of the beach, beautiful, beautiful view. So we go back to the office, it's like fucking 1 in the morning, you know, there's a bed.
A bed in the office?
One of the offices had a bed in case anyone that was working there wanted to crash. So
we have the same thing.
We have the same thing.
Yeah. It happens. I'm sure people can imagine offices with beds. So
because
starts in the living room.
Everybody wants to crash at the same
clothes
time.
Clothes get torn off. Eventually we end up on the bed. Wild, amazing night of fucking. I don't know where this story was going. It was going somewhere, but it's ending here.
The wild, amazing night
of this was your first night of fucking?
No, this was our second or third night of fucking.
Oh, and then, yeah.
And wait a minute.
Yeah?
Is that the time?
There was something going on that this story was leading to, and I forgot it because he was so cute that when I started thinking about the whole fucking thing that I just lost my whole train of thought that, no. I don't know. So anyways, we spent this whole amazing night, you know, in the office, and, you know, it got really loud for a minute, and the neighbors started, like, banging on the wall, which is, like, a pretty cool moment, because I don't often have neighbors.
Let me ask you a question. I got to ask
the wall
you a question.
To complain.
I got to ask you something, because I'm thinking, what would Dawn Eden ask you? I mean, she would tell you
who's
that,
Dawn
of course,
Eden?
The one that wrote the Born Again.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
The thrill of the chase.
Okay.
She would tell you that, you know, you shouldn't have had sex with him.
Right. If I kept the chaste/chase up, right, he would have still been intrigued.
Oh.
He
he's sniffing.
Testing.
I don't know.
No, oh, of course. Men always sniff.
Well, yeah, he's definitely sniffing, but if you keep... See, I don't completely disagree with her that it's a good idea to keep men off of sex sexual intercourse, that is, for a little while in certain circumstances.
We waited 6 months.
Exactly. Right. Well, we
but
waited.
I was married, and you
well, but
had a boyfriend.
We waited 5 dates. 5 dates. I feel like
five dates
is very respectable.
The attention span is growing shorter and shorter.
No, it's always been short.
5 dates.
Sometimes.
That's like 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Well, how often were you having these dates?
That's what I mean. It was about once a week for
all
5 weeks. And then
yeah.
On the 5th week, we got a hotel.
All right.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Do you think that you would feel better if you hadn't had sex with him and he had broken up with you because you hadn't had sex with him?
No. But only because, well, I don't know if only, but, I mean, generally I don't give a fuck about promiscuous sex. It doesn't really mean much to me.
Non...
Do you think it meant something to him?
Probably.
Probably more.
Yeah.
Well,
way
he definitely
more.
Had a lower count than I did.
He had
much
the puppy
lower.
Dog eyes with you, where he was just...
Okay,
like
Rachel said
obvious.
That too, and if either
oh,
of
yeah.
you were right, then he would not have been the one breaking up with me.
We already explained why that's right. He just couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the
so
awe
So he
of
messaged
Sarah.
Me today, and he was like, how's your car? And I was
he
like,
loves you.
Oh, my car is broken. And he was like, how are you getting rides to work? And I was like, oh, you know, Jeff's driving me to work begrudgingly. And he was like, aw, that's really cute. You guys are like a couple that doesn't get along.
I sense right. bitterness.
So you're going back and forth with him now about that?
I don't know. What does that mean?
Okay.
What are you going to do about that?
He wants
I've been heartbroken for, what, fucking 3 weeks now? And he messages me this shit, and I'm like, what does that mean? What am I supposed to do? Like, obviously, I would still go to a hotel with you in a heartbeat. Obviously, I think you're fucking hot. I would hook up with you. Like, why are you playing games, and why are you acting like this relationship means something? Like,
well, why don't you tell him that?
I've IM'd him that.
And we have 3 minutes left.
Oh. What is our conclusion?
Many people have told me that if I really care, that I should fight for it, right? You're supposed to fight for the love that you believe in.
No, I think you should fight
you
for your dignity
for
and tell him you don't want him to go through the motions.
Yeah, and also get new suits and
okay.
a shirt. Okay.
Well, after that, he said something about like, oh, I have this career and I have to make a bunch of money and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck you. I'm the one that has the career influence, right? Like, I'm the one that breaks up with people because I have to work on my job and I don't care about relationships. So we worked out the whole career thing and we worked that thing out. But I never brought up going through the motions ever again, because
yeah.
that was just way too hurtful.
Yeah, you have to, in life, you have to take care of the stooping situation.
The stooping.
Yeah.
I know you love to use the word stooping.
Because if you don't got stooping, you ain't got nothing. You listen to Radio Suzy 1 on the World Wide Web.
We got stooping.
And we're going to close, Doctor. But that was great. That was great. Confessions
well,
by
you know, Valentine's
I'm sorry,
Day.
I'm sorry,
the CEO. Confessions by the CEO of Melodramatic.
I got dumped.
This is real. The reality is that often, right before Valentine's Day, people get dumped. This is
right.
this is often the
and
reality.
And this is a reality show. We don't make any of this up.
And the reality is that...
And if anyone wants to go out on Valentine's Day, Sarah, S-A-R-A.
We should do the dating game for Sarah.
Oh, no,
at
no, Sarah, you got to put it on Bonobo Way.
I'll post it on Bonobo Way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Front
really?
Page. Sounds
front
like
page.
A front page ad.
Hi, this is Sarah. Here's what's going on. I just got
I'm
dumped.
I'm single. Dumped.
Right. Here's what you need. You
kind of hot.
You need a lot of money.
Mostly
I'm
brilliant.
Hot. I got panties. You can take
them
off.
I got the panties, the shade. I do all sorts of sex.
Right.
I love blowjobs, you know.
Oh.
Wow.
Hook it up.
No, and really...
Advertising for love.
Yeah, advertising
I know.
For
I
love.
Think about that, too. I'm like, should I go that route? Am I ready for that? I don't think I'm ready to actually look. I'm not really looking yet.
No,
you write an ad that says, I'm not really looking yet, but here's who I am.
Really?
Yeah, right.
Because...
Here's who I am.
I'm not really looking yet. It's a perfect beginning.
Yeah.
Then just wait for them to line up
that
to bask in
cute.
Your glory.
Right.
Susie, why you gotta influence me into that kind of shit? Because, you know, tomorrow I'll be posting Craigslist ad that says, you know, I'm not really looking yet.
You should give Sarah, Susie, You should give Sarah a copy of the book.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I got
okay.
a copy of...
Oh, advertising for...
Yeah.
No, I have to...
Yeah, no, I don't have the advertising one. I have the
yeah.
new.
Oh, the advertising
yeah,
one
you that.
Is awesome.
I got to get one of those.
I read the intro when it was sitting on the lobby table.
We've got 1 minute left.
Okay, so we're going to be back, let's see, tomorrow, I guess?
Yeah, we'll be
yeah.
back tomorrow
right.
with some other guests.
So
we'll bring Sarah back.
Oh, listeners and podcast listeners, please take pity on me. I've been dumped.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for sharing your dump story with us.
Thank you.
And welcome.
And help
us
all to feel better
first time in 12 years.
Because you sound so pathetic.
I'm so pathetic. And I love him so much. And I would go back to him right now.
Wow.
Desperation / desperation.
I'm just kidding. Fuck
She's
him.
She's addicted.
Fuck him. He's so cute. I'm going to go see if he's online.
She's just pulling your leg, Ezzy.
No, we're going to go party next door. I'm
yeah.
going next door.
We're
going
to get Sarah
Oh, there's
laid.
A party next door.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
I should
okay,
get
laid.
Thank you, Terry. And thank you, Brother Dave.
Thank you, Doctor.
And thank you, my darling listener, for having us in your home, your mansion, or your cardboard box. Be good. Be happy. Even if you're dumped, be happy. Find the bright side.
It's
Listen,
not that bad.
Many people in the alley are very happy
we
in the
We all
dumpster.
Get dumped. Even when
At
we're hot.
You don't have four legs.
Right. I wish I had four legs.
Yeah, we saw the four-legged girl.
Oh,
so
we have piano.
Okay, we have a piano now. So we got to
go
to hang out
we're
at the piano
go
bar.
We're going to have a party.
Practice the Bonobo Way. Get on Bonobo Way. Sign
.com.
Up. BonoboWay.com.
And if you're young, you better go to MellowDramatic.com.
If you're young, yeah,
yeah.
If you're too young.
If you're indecisive and tortured, feel
right.
free
right.
to wander over.
Emo individuals. MellowDramatic.com.
But
don't come here if you're too young.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
If you can hack it.
And by the way, Mellow is spelled with one L if you can't spell.
Okay.
Mellow? It's spelled like the fucking word. Dictionary.com will help you. If you can't spell dictionary,
and
that's D-I-C-T-I-O-N-O-A-R-Y.
You heard it here. You heard it first.
Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
I love you too. From our house to your house, thank you for having us, and we'll join you again tomorrow night. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and play a pre-recorded broadcast.
For the hula girl to dance here, to do the hula. The hula girl.